Well, good morning, brothers. Great to be here with you all. I want to thank Pastor George for the invitation, and just what a joy to be back with you. I was here last year, and it was a wonderful conference, and just trusting the Lord that he's going to bring about a great conference today. And it's just a great privilege to be among other men and pastors such as George, who are taking a stand for truth in the midst of this storm that we're in. So let's give him a hand, because it's unfortunately rare today, guys. And that's exactly what the Lord had put in my heart when he shared the theme of this conference, you know, and he said it's about standing in the storm. And that's exactly where my heart and mind was going, is about the storm that is brewing and that is coming upon the church. And you know, pray, because I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. with Tony Perkins in February with a handful of other pastors around the country, and he invited me down, and we're going to be discussing these topics and the importance of men of God and pastors and leaders taking a stand for biblical truth. And guys, listen, I want to encourage you. This should excite us. This should inspire us. We are not given to a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Amen? And So really excited to be with you today. And my first message in the conference today is entitled, In the Storm with Jesus. And so let's look at storms together and the fact that Jesus is with us in those storms. And if you have a Bible, would you turn with me this morning to John's Gospel, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, and let's pick up at verse 15, and we'll read down to verse 21 together. John chapter 6, verse 15, and the Word of God reads, Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over to the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, It is I, do not be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, thank you for this time together as men, as we open up your word. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts. Lord, that we would hear your voice. And God, that you would meet each one of us here today in whatever storm we may be facing, Lord, that you would just calm the storm in our hearts, in our minds, Lord, that we would be reassured of your presence and your promises. And Lord God, that as we hear your voice, that we would obey you, that we would follow you. And Lord, we know that apart from you, we can't. And so God, that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to receive all that you have for each one of us, and that you would make us more like you in the process. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So again, the title of today's message this morning is In the Storm with Jesus. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, we're all in the same boat. It's believed by some that this phrase came about due to the sinking of the Titanic, that huge, majestic ship which was divided in different classes from rich to poor. All those in the top decks in first class truly believed they were better off than those who were on the bottom of the ship. Yet once that iceberg suddenly tore open the side of that massive ship, whose builder had boasted not even God himself could sink this ship, well, as we know, it began to sink. And once the water started pouring in, he and everyone else aboard the Titanic that terrible night had realized very quickly that it didn't matter who they were or what they possessed, they were all in the same boat. And in life, generally speaking, and even spiritually speaking, we're all in the same boat. The question is, who's the captain of your boat? Is it you, or is it Jesus? Now, you might be sitting here saying, well, that's cool because I don't like boats. I get seasick. I don't get in boats. Well, even if that's so, pay attention, because one thing we all know about life is that storms will come. And many times we are able to prepare for a storm. You know, we check our local news channel, we look out the window, we carry an umbrella with us, we consult the weather channel. Hey, there's even an app for that now, right? Yet as much as we may try to prepare for storms, there will always be those storms that take us by surprise. It's the storms that come when we least expect it that really catch us off guard and that seem to do the most damage. And the same thing is true as it relates to us spiritually in life. You see, both believers and non-believers alike, we face storms, trials, tribulations, times of suffering, pain, even tragedy perhaps, which come in many different ways and at different times and often when we least expect it. And many of those storms are due to the fact that we live in a fallen world. Sin has tainted not only the entire human race, but all of creation as well. And we know that we also have an enemy, Satan, who seeks to attack us so as to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his agenda towards all people, but especially towards Christ's followers, and especially, I believe, towards men. If Satan could take down the man, he could take down the family, he could take down the community, he could take down the church, and at the same time, when Christ grabs a hold of the man, he grabs a hold of the family, he grabs a hold of the community, he grabs a hold of the church. And so these storms that we find ourselves in, many times we create ourselves, right? Due to the decisions that we might make and the consequences of sin that are sure to follow. Yet oftentimes we forget, or perhaps you might not even know this morning, that certain storms that we face in life have been allowed, may I even say orchestrated, by God so as to get our attention. Not to drown us, not to destroy us, not to tear us down, but rather to build us up, that we would grow in our faith. And guys, I want to encourage you this morning, Jesus never allows a storm to enter our lives that is not without a purpose. We know that he is faithful and that he will use it for his glory and our good ultimately some way, somehow, for we who believe. You see, for the Christian, we have an anchor for our soul. We have the rock upon which we stand. We have a firm foundation through the Word of God upon which our faith is able to be strengthened no matter what storms we may face, no matter how intensely we are tried. We will grow as we trust the Lord through it all. You know, it's been said that a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. The context here in John's Gospel in chapter 6, we see that Jesus had just miraculously fed the 5,000. Many scholars believe more so around 12,000 to 15,000, because it doesn't mention women and children. And as Jesus feeds all these people, they want to now take him by force and make him king, right? You give people free food, you're our guy. We want you to be king. We want you to be in charge, right? And they're leaving Bethsaida, and they're heading toward the west, towards Capernaum. And they're on the Sea of Galilee. Now, if you ever get to go to Israel, the Sea of Galilee, it's one of my favorite places there in Israel. It's a beautiful body of water located there in the upper region of Israel. The Sea of Galilee is fed by the waters from Mount Hermon and then turns into the Jordan River, which then flows down into the Sea of Galilee. A beautiful body of water, all different colors of green and blue during different seasons of the year. It's a fresh water body of water. And what's interesting is that it's also known as Lake Tiberias, Gennesaret, and Kinnereth. In the Hebrew, it means harp, because if you were to see an aerial view of the Sea of Galilee, it actually is shaped like a harp. It's 15 miles long, it's 8 miles wide, and it's 150 feet at its deepest point. And what's interesting is that waves can be created in the Sea of Galilee, and they could reach up to 15 feet high at times during different storms. And we find the disciples in storms often throughout the scriptures, don't we? In fact, Mark's gospel mentions a previous storm to this storm we just read of here in John's gospel. But in Mark chapter 6 and in Matthew chapter 14, they share the same exact storm that we just read of here. But Matthew, he gives us further insight into the details of this particular storm that we just read about here in John's gospel. And so I'd like to take the rest of our time this morning there in Matthew chapter 14. And so if you turn with me there, hang a left and go to Matthew chapter 14, and let's look at that section of scripture regarding this storm. We pick up at verse 22. And Matthew fills in the blanks that John doesn't give us. And as Jesus tells the disciples to get into the boat, he goes and departs to be by himself. And he goes to pray to the Father in heaven. We read here in Matthew 14, verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone there. And we see that Jesus is there. He's up on the mountain. He sends the guys across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus knows they're going to encounter this storm. They don't know it. But he's there and he's praying. You know, and I was thinking, how many people prepare for a natural disaster or a major snowstorm, a power outage, right? You stock up on food and water, flashlights, you know, maybe some people have a generator. Why? Because we want power. If the power goes out, we want to be able to have power. And, you know, I was thinking, what's the best way to be prepared for the storms that may suddenly take place in our lives? It's prayer, guys. It's our prayer life. You know, and I want to encourage you and challenge you this morning. How's your prayer life? How much time do you spend in prayer? Now, I believe that we can all spend more time in prayer if we're all honest, right? But guys, we need to have a commitment to prayer. You see, prayer is our source of power and peace in the midst of the storms. Because notice, it says in verse 24, as the disciples are there in the boat, they're heading across the sea, and it says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And, you know, stormy seas will do two things. Number one, it will test the strength and stability of the ship to see of what it's made, right? How it can endure the storm. And number two, it tests the skills and ability of the sailor to navigate through a storm. And I don't know about you, but I don't like storms. I don't like when storms suddenly pop up into my life. But again, it's a time of testing. It's a way by which God will allow to test our faith and to see of what sort it is, if we're growing in our faith. And you know, oftentimes as men, we like to be the captain of our ship, don't we? We want to call the shots. We're independent, and that's a good part of manhood. But at the same time, there's that part of manhood where we need to humble ourselves and depend upon Christ and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you to navigate my life. I need you to navigate my family, Lord. Would you step in the midst of this storm? And many times what we do is we grab onto the oars, we grab onto the helm, and we say, hey, I'm the captain of my ship, and I'm going to make this happen. And we start to see that very suddenly the water is pouring in, and we're starting to sink. In fact, Mark's gospel tells us about this storm that the disciples were straining at the oars. Jesus is up on the mountain. He sees them, and they're straining at the oars in the midst of this storm. And, you know, again, the Lord allows storms to come into our lives for different reasons. You know, there are storms that God will allow that direct us. You know, I was thinking about the Apostle Paul there in Acts chapter 27. You may recall he's on his way to Rome. And he tries to discourage the guys from setting its sail because it was not the good season to sail at that time. And, you know, he said, guys, I don't think it's going to work out well. And they said, what do you know? You know, we're the, you know, the experts here, and we're going to set sail. And you know the story there. They encounter that horrible storm, and everything is destroyed except for their lives. And, you know, it's interesting that God directed that storm, and because they ended up on the island of Malta, ultimately, and God had a purpose for them to be there on that island. There was a purpose for that storm, even for the guys in the boat, to see the power of God. As Paul there, right, he was encouraging the people, listen, don't jump ship. Some of them were going to jump ship. He says, I believe my God that, as he said, we're going to not suffer our lives. We're going to come out of this alive. Just listen, you can't jump ship. Listen, maybe some of you this morning, you're in the midst of a storm, guys, and you're about to jump ship, as it were. I believe the Lord would encourage you and say, don't jump ship. Stay in the boat with me. I'm with you. I'm for you. But we see that this was a storm that was allowed to direct them. Then there are storms that come to instruct us. You know, I think about the disciples here. There was so much that they were going to learn through this storm, that they would know the power and presence and promises and provision of Jesus in a new and fresh way, in ways that they wouldn't have known otherwise. You know, and there will be many storms and trials that we're going to face in life. Some storms come because we're not in the will of God due to disobedience and compromise or living in willful, deliberate sin as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. And guys, we know that that doesn't go well. We're quenching the Holy Spirit. We're grieving the Holy Spirit. And God will chasten us because he loves us, because he desires to draw us closer to him. But you see, these guys were in the will of God. Paul was in the will of God there in Acts chapter 27. The disciples right now, they're in the will of God. But there are storms to correct us when we're out of the will of God, right? And we think about our friend Jonah. Jonah, God's man, the prophet Jonah. You know the story. God wants him to go to Nineveh and to those wicked people to preach the gospel. And Nineveh's like, you know, Jonah's like, Nineveh, did I hear you right, Lord? Sorry, no way, Yahweh. I'm going to go the opposite way. And he heads to Tarshish. And you know the story. You know, there's a boat waiting for him. And here's the thing, guys, is Satan, man, he's always ready with a boat to get us out of the will of God if that's what we choose to do. And he gets into the boat. He pays the fare. He goes down into the boat. He goes down in the bottom of the ship. And then, you know the story, the storm arises and they throw him overboard and he goes down into the water and that great big fish swallows him up. And where does Jonah end up? In exactly the same place that God told him to go in the first place. But he had to get there the hard way. Bald, lost all his hair, pale as a ghost, right? Seaweed wrapped around his head. The fish barfs him out onto the land. But that storm was orchestrated by God to correct Jonah. And, you know, we too may find ourselves in different storms like this, all three aspects taking place in certain storms that we might face. And many times we are very much in the very will of God. Guys, I want to encourage you that when we seek to walk in the will of God, we will face opposition. We will face storms. And you might find yourself in the midst of a storm here today, perhaps physically. Maybe you're going through a storm in your health. The doctor just called you and it wasn't a good report. I want to encourage you in the midst of the storm. Maybe you're going through a storm spiritually. You're just dealing with heavy spiritual warfare lately. Or maybe your walk with the Lord just seems dry and barren and you're just in a season of brokenness or pruning, perhaps. Listen, I want to encourage you to trust the Lord in the midst of that storm. Maybe it's financially. Maybe you've lost your job as of late, or you got hit with some unexpected expenses, whatever it might be, and you're just struggling financially, or maybe it's emotionally, and you don't know why. You're just discouraged. You're depressed. You're going through an emotional storm, and those could be very difficult. Listen, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord and to trust the Lord in the midst of that storm, or maybe you might be going through a storm relationally. Guys, maybe there's some marriages that are struggling here. And maybe you know it's because of you. It's because of decisions you've made. Maybe you're walking in disobedience or whatever it might be. Or maybe it's not your fault, right? You're just going through a rough patch in your marriage. Or maybe with your children, you got a prodigal child. Or you got some children that are rebelling right now. Or they don't know the Lord. Or they've walked away from the Lord. Listen, that's a very difficult storm to navigate through. But let me tell you, I know by experience in that particular storm that God is faithful. He loves our children a lot more than we do. He's got his eye on them. Just like he had his eye on the disciples in the midst of this storm. Listen, guys, the Lord has his eyes on you. He loves you. He's with you. He's for you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. You might be going through some storms at work with your coworkers or friends, or even sometimes in the body of Christ. Maybe it's a brother or sister you're not getting along with lately, and you know, it's just awkward, and, you know, I would encourage you to make things right. You know, pursue reconciliation, whatever it might be. But listen, whatever the storm might be, listen, every storm can be used for our purification, our edification, and our sanctification if we will place our focus upon Jesus and trust him at his word. The truth is, scientifically and spiritually, we need storms. You know, scientists say that it's good for the earth when storms arise and certain major storms. It does some good stuff for the earth. And listen, storms, when they arise in our lives spiritually, they can produce a lot of good as well. It's been said that calm, glassy seas never produced a skillful sailor. Guys, God is making us more like his son Jesus. And he'll allow these storms to do that. And I believe we are heading for some major storms nationally as a country. Make no doubt about it. We see the climate. We see what's taking place. And we know, guys, if you follow Bible prophecy, that as everything looks like it's falling apart, no, we know, we who know the Word of God, it's all falling into place. And so, guys, we don't despair. We don't get discouraged. We actually get encouraged. We look on, and Jesus said, when you see these things, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I mean, this tells us that Jesus is coming soon, amen? And so, guys, this is exciting times that we're living in, exciting times that God has allowed us to be here in the church, in the body of Christ, even in this country, the greatest country on the face of the earth, if you ask me. But yet we see all these things taking place now. Nationally, how about just spiritually, the condition of the church today? Boy, the church needs revival, guys. And revival starts with us, not with the outside world. The outside non-believing world needs regeneration. They need to be born again. But the church, we need to be revived. And Charles Spurgeon said, you want to see revival take place? Draw a circle and stand in it. That's where it starts, with each one of us, one heart at a time. But make no doubt about it, there is a storm brewing and a storm is coming. And guys, we need to wake up and truly live as we are called to live as believers. You know, we read about storms in the scriptures, and in Mark chapter 4, the disciples found themselves in a storm. And it said there in Mark's gospel that there were all these other little boats with him. But Jesus was in the boat during that storm. In this storm, he's not in the boat with them. You know, and I love that about Jesus, you know? When he tests our faith, he does it in increments. Haven't you noticed that? Like, he'll let us be in a storm, and he's with us in the boat. Remember the disciples there in that storm, and Jesus is just sleeping in the back of the boat? And they're like, Lord, don't you care? We're going to perish. And he wakes up. He's like, guys, come on. How long have you been with me? Oh, ye of little faith, right? And then he's like, all right, well, now I'm going to let you go into the storm, and I'm not going to be in the boat. I'll be on the mountain watching you guys from a distance and praying. And in each storm, we see the faithfulness of God. And here, John and Matthew let us know that Jesus was not in the boat with them physically, yet Jesus was still in control of the storm, and his eyes were on them while they were in the midst of the storm. And God will often allow the perfect storm to brew in our lives, to get our attention, to cause us to cry out to him. Have you ever been there, guys? You know, sometimes we could be stubborn, man. We could be rebellious. We could be knuckleheads, and we make decisions that we know are contrary to the word of God, and then, boom, a storm comes. And I love how Psalm 107 puts it. Psalm 107, verse 23, it reads, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end, and then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. I love this. The psalmist is saying here, God is the one who's orchestrating that storm. The waves are going up and down, and they're reeling to and fro, and he gets us to our wit's end. And sometimes, guys, he needs to get us at the end of ourselves. We're too full of ourselves. We're too confident in our own strength, in our own abilities. And he says, oh, really? You think you could do this without me? Go for it, Johnny. Let's see how it goes. And then we're there and we cry out. We're at our wit's end, but praise the Lord for his grace and his mercy, right? And he doesn't give up on us. And we cry out and he's there. And we cry out to the Lord. It says they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, and so he guides them to their desired haven. And so thankful for the mercy and grace of God. But guys, why does it have to be that way? Why do we have to get ourselves in that storm to begin with? Because here's the thing, we're not in the storm alone. If we're married, if we have children, guess who's coming along in that storm? our wives and our kids. And sometimes they get roughed up in it because of us, because we're stubborn, we're hard-hearted, you know, whatever it might be. But here's the thing, guys, if you're in a storm this morning, that's you, and those waves have been going up and down and you're stubbornly trying to navigate through it, I would encourage you to let go of it and humble yourself before the Lord and cry out to Him. Cry out to the Lord. This is not to condemn you. This is to encourage you. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is convicting you, but listen, that's a good thing, that we would be drawn to Jesus afresh and anew. Because notice here, look at what it says in verse 24. It says, "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary." Now, in the fourth watch of the night, this would be between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., Jesus went to them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Listen, maybe that's a good word for someone here this morning. You're in the midst of a storm and you're fearful. You're afraid. Why would the Bible tell us so much, fear not? Because God knew that we would get afraid at times. And Jesus, you know, there's a thing in storms where we get to see him a little more clearly, so to speak. We get to hear him a little more keenly. And he would speak to you, he would speak to me this morning, be not afraid. Be of good cheer. Take courage is the translation there. It is I. Fear not. Listen, I believe that the Lord is speaking to someone here this morning. You're afraid. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to take place, but you can know this, that God is with you. And he promises you that you will have peace in me. You don't need to be afraid. I love the places in the scriptures where we read that phrase, be of good cheer. And for instance, in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2, remember the paralyzed man that the friends, you know, they opened up the roof and they lowered their friend down there before Jesus as he was preaching in the house. It says there, "Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you.'" Listen, maybe there's someone here, you're condemned. You didn't even want to come today. You felt so unworthy to come to a men's conference because, quite frankly, you've been in sin. I'm so glad that you're here. You know, that God would encourage you that if you confess your sin, right? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, "Be of good cheer, son, your sins are forgiven you." Our sins are forgiven us, men. Jesus paid it all on the cross. I love what Matthew chapter 9 and verse 22, the woman with the issue of blood, you know, that woman who for 12 years, right, she went to all these physicians, wasted all her money, and she still had this infirmity, and she heard that Jesus was there in the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment. She said, "If only I could touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." The faith of that woman. And Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. Listen, maybe you're here this morning and you're crying out to God, and the little mustard seed of faith that you have, you're saying, "Lord, I'm placing my faith in you." Well, the Lord would say to you this morning, "Be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well." Mark chapter 10 and verse 47, blind Bartimaeus there in Jericho. Remember the blind beggar? It says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.'" You know, sometimes we feel like God has overlooked us. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, "Man, I've been praying, I've been seeking the Lord, and it just seems like nothing. I feel like the Lord is looking over me, he's passing me by." Well, perhaps it's a good word for someone here this morning. Be of good cheer. He is calling you. And men, I believe that God is calling us. He is calling us to be an army. And he's calling upon the men to rise up in this hour. And it says there that throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And so Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. You know, sometimes we could get blinded in life, right? Sin will blind us, that's for sure. But we could get blinded by so many things, and the Lord has a wonderful way of just touching our eyes again and opening our eyes that we may see him clearly. I think about in Acts chapter 23 when Paul, near the end of his life, standing before the Sanhedrin. Remember there it says in Acts 23 verse 10, "Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring them into the barracks. But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome.'" Paul didn't know what was going to take place, but the Lord stood by him that night. And he said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. Take courage. I'm with you. The same way I'm with you here, I'm going to be with you there." And you know, oftentimes it's been said we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. So guys, we don't fear the future. We don't even fear the storms that are going to come, because we know that God goes before us. He's already there. And he says, "I'll be with you." And the Lord has a way of coming alongside of us as we're spending time with him in prayers, we're spending time reading his word, guys, that he would just encourage our hearts yet again. And I love John chapter 16 and verse 33, speaking to his disciples. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And 1 John tells us that it's our faith that causes us to overcome as well. And so, guys, we're going to face tribulations in this life. But aren't you glad we're not going to face the tribulation? I'm convinced, guys, that Jesus is going to come for us. We're going to hear those trumpets and we're going to be taken out of here. And we're going to be with the Lord. And so, listen, that can happen at any moment. And so, whatever takes place, guys, we could have peace in Jesus. He promised us two things there. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But in me, you can have peace. Take courage. Be of good cheer. Well, Peter, we all know Peter, right? We love Peter because we're so like him. And he figures, "All right, Lord, I'm going to take you up on that. I'm going to take courage right now." Well, let's keep on reading. Verse 28, it says, "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And so Jesus said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Man, you gotta love this. You know, so many people criticize Peter, right? And preachers, we could be good at that. Oh, Peter took his eyes off of the Lord and put him on the storm and he began to sink. And hey, listen, Peter's the one who walked on water out of all the disciples. You know, I could just imagine that night and Peter, you know, he's got the faith to step out of the boat and to follow Jesus at his command. And none of the other guys did that. I mean, look, when we get to heaven, I can't wait to ask Peter about that. What was that like, man, when you put your foot out over the boat and you were standing on the water, right? And here's the thing, guys, if you're not willing to take steps of faith, you're never going to see God working in your life the way that he wants to. And so it takes faith to do that in the midst of life, in the midst of the storms of life. And God may be calling some of you, so to speak, to get out of the boat, to get out of your comfort zone and to take that step of faith. And I think it's a good word that Peter said, "Lord, if it's you." You know, guys, there's a lot of men, there's a lot of people fleeing right now. I'm sure in this area, I know in New York, and everyone wants to go to Tennessee and go to Texas and go to Florida, and I'm just out of here. I'm going to go to a red state, and I'm going to go to a place where everybody's a Christian. Well, listen, if the Lord's not leading you, you're going to find yourself like Jonah in a storm of correction. Because, guys, what's going to happen here if the church continues to flee, if we're not salt and light in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the chaos? Now, again, if the Lord is leading you, that's a totally different thing. But if you're just fleeing for the sake of comfort, for the sake of ease, to be around all other people who are Christians, you know, I hear this all the time. I get prayer requests at church. Pastor, pray for me. I'm the only Christian at my job. I'm like, praise the Lord. That's awesome. You know, God put you there for a reason, to be salt and light. You know, the young people at schools and everything. You know, God puts us there so that we can make an impact, so that we can have influence. You know, my wife and I was sharing with Pastor George and Pastor Mike the other night at dinner. I says, you know, I was speaking at a church in Texas in October. And my wife and I go into these different stores, and, you know, right away they pick up on our accent. They're like, where are y'all from? I'm like, New York. They're like, what are you here for? I said, oh, I'm preaching at a church. You should come by this Sunday and check it out. They're like, oh, we're Christians too. I'm like, oh, cool. So after about the seventh place we went to, everybody's a Christian. I'm like, I said, babe, this is crazy. Like, everywhere we go here, everyone's a Christian. It's like utopia. I'm like, are we in heaven? Did we die on the plane? Like, what's going on here? No. But, you know, I spoke to the pastor afterwards, and he's like, oh, yeah. You're going to hear that down here. Everybody's a Christian down here. But are they? And you know, I don't know about you, but I need to be in the fight. You know, we're in the same crazy liberal places, you know, New York and Boston and California, all these places, right? It's craziness. But again, I think God is using it to strengthen us. Guys, we need to stand, not flee. We need to fight, you know, and to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But we see here that Peter, he takes the Lord at his word. He comes out and he steps out by faith. And he did begin to sink. Don't be afraid to sink, guys. And what happens when we do sink? We do what Peter did. We don't have to pray a long theological prayer. He doesn't start saying, oh, Heavenly Father in heaven. No, Lord, save me. Three words. Can you say, Lord, save me? Right? I mean, so let's trust the Lord by faith. Let's step out of the boat, as it were, by faith. And perhaps that's a good word for someone here today. And I love this. When we do sink, and we cry out to God, it says immediately. Jesus didn't say, oh, yeah, there you go, Peter. See, you should have kept your eyes on me. No, he immediately, he reached out his hand and he brings him up into the boat. And when Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I don't think that it's Jesus standing there shaking his finger at Peter, condemning him. I think he was trying to encourage him. It's like, Peter, man, you were doing so good. What happened, man, you know? And we know what would happen with Peter at the end of his life, how God used Peter. Here's a guy that denied knowing Jesus three times, and yet he's the one that preaches that amazing sermon in the book of Acts. He's standing before the very people that crucified his Lord, and full of boldness, full of courage. And guys, this is not the time to be timid men. We need to be bold and courageous. We need to be men of faith, not filled with fear. And listen, God will do that if you've been filled with fear lately. You know, these last 3 years, it's been craziness. And it's been a test run. This has been a test run to see. And it's so sad to me how many churches, how many pastors, how many spiritual leaders caved during this test. And I'm so grateful for those who took the stand and had the courage to take a stand and to please the Lord come what may. And we see this here. Jesus is with them, and they get into the boat, and the wind ceased. And what happens? They begin to worship the Lord. Guys, I want to encourage you. Worship the Lord in the midst of the storm. John tells us there, they willingly received Jesus into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. When Jesus tells you and I, guys, you're going to get to the other side, we could believe him that we're going to get to the other side. You might be in the midst of the storm right now, but you need to trust the Lord by faith that you're going to be where he's called you to be. He's going to get you to the other side. And so to close, guys, we don't enjoy storms, right? We try to avoid them at all costs, but storms will come. And no matter what storm you are currently in or may find yourself eventually, we must trust the Lord that it is truly the perfect storm for us. This was the perfect storm for these guys. The other thing I want to encourage you with is storms don't come to stay. Storms come to pass. There's never been a perpetual storm in the history of mankind, right? Storms come and storms go. So don't make a drastic decision in the midst of a storm because you're afraid, because you're discouraged, or whatever the case may be. That's the time to hold on to our anchor, right? We can be of good cheer because Jesus is with us. He is for us. And even if we happen to sink, he will save us if we cry out to him. Don't jump ship. Don't seek calm seas apart from Jesus. Trust him in the midst of the storm. Praise him in the midst of the storm. He is faithful and he's going to get you to the other side. Because guys, we're all in the same boat. Spiritually speaking, we've all been blessed in this life. We all serve the same creator God. We all have the same destiny to one day die and enter into eternity. We've all sinned and we've all been given the same opportunity to either live for ourselves or to live for the one who made us, to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And you can willingly invite Jesus into your boat, or you can also willingly and willfully reject him. Sadly, so many people would rather try to sail smoothly through life without Jesus rather than weather the storms with him. I'd rather be in a stormy boat with Jesus than to go on smooth sailing without him. For the believer and follower of Jesus Christ, we have peace in knowing that Jesus is the hope that holds on to us in the midst of the storms. We don't hold on to him. He holds on to us. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. What is that anchor? Who is that anchor? It's Jesus, guys. Jesus is our anchor. He's going to keep us steady in the midst of the storm. And some of us have Jesus as the captain of our ship, and some people think that they're the captain of their ship. Listen, guys, I don't know where you are right now, but I pray that if you've been trying to be the captain of your ship lately, that you're going to turn over the reins, turn over the oars, turn it over to Jesus so that he can navigate. So which boat are you in this morning? Is Jesus in your boat? Or have you been trying to navigate your own life without Jesus? Maybe, guys, this was a good word for someone here. I don't know who, but as we start this conference today, maybe your mind and your heart, you're just so burdened, you're so weighed down because of the storm that you find yourself in. And listen, I want to encourage you. Let's cry out to Jesus together. Listen, guys, as we close, if there's anyone here, if there's a guy here and you're in a storm, whatever it is, you don't have to say what it is. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I want to pray with you. As we kick off this conference, listen, I want your mind, your heart to be cleared out and that the Lord would just reassure you. Amen. Anybody else? You're just in the middle of a storm. You've come in here. You weren't even going to come, but I'm so glad that you're here. Awesome, guys. Great. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Guys, you see the guys that are standing next to you? Would you stand up likewise and put your hands on them? We're going to pray together for them, our brothers here. Take courage, brothers. Be of good cheer, those of you standing right now, for each one of us. But Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for this great reminder that you are with us in the midst of the storms. That you're in the boat with us, Lord. And God, I pray for my precious brothers who had the courage to stand before you right now. Lord, we pray by faith, whatever storm they find themselves in, Lord, would you calm the storm? Lord, would you use the storm to grow and strengthen their faith? Lord, we look to you now. We cry out to you, God, and we're so thankful that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Lord, we trust you by faith. God, would you use this storm for our good and for your glory. Bless my brothers, Lord. May their faith be strengthened and renewed, Lord. And we look forward to all that you're going to speak to us through the rest of this day. God, we praise you. We love you. We thank you for your love toward us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. God bless you guys.